Question Directions, Part B. In Part B of the listening section, you will hear several longer conversations and talks. Each conversation or talk is followed by several questions. The conversations, talks, and questions will not be repeated. The conversations and talks are about a variety of topics. You do not need special knowledge of the topics to answer the questions correctly. Rather, you should answer each question on the basis of what is stated or implied by the speakers in the conversations or talks. For most of the questions, you will need to click on the best of four possible answers. Some questions will have special directions. The special directions will appear in a box on the computer screen. Listen to a conversation with a professor.
Professor Day, may I see you for a minute?
Sure, come on in, Mike. What's the matter?
I've got a problem.
Okay.
I need your technical writing class, and I knew I had to have it, so I went early to registration. But by the time I got to the front of the line, it was closed. See, my advisor signed my course request and everything. I was just too far back in the line.
That's a big class already, Mike. If it's closed, that means I have 50 students in it.
I'm not surprised. It's supposed to be a really good class.
Can't you take it next year? We offer it every fall.
Well, that's the problem. I'm supposed to be graduating this spring. But of course, I can't graduate without your class.
I see. In that case, I'll sign an override for you. It looks like there will be 51. Take this form back to the registration area, and they'll get you in.
Thanks, Professor Day. I really appreciate this.
18. What is Mike's problem? Nineteen. What does Mike want Professor Day to do? 20. What does Mike say about graduation? 21. What does Professor Day decide to do? 22. Listen to a talk by a business instructor.
Today's lecture is about the effects of background music on employee performance and retail sales. As you know, every day millions of people in offices and factories around the world do their work to the accompaniment of background music, more commonly known as Muzak. But did you know that Muzak is more than a pleasant addition to the environment? Studies show that this seemingly innocent background music can be engineered to control behavior. In fact, Muzak can improve employee performance by reducing stress, boredom, and fatigue. In one survey, overall productivity increased by 30%, although 5 to 10% is the average. The key to Muzak's success is something called stimulus progression, which means quite simply that the background music starts with a slow, soft song that is low in stimulus value and builds up gradually to an upbeat song that is high in stimulus value. The fastest, loudest sounds are programmed for about 10:30 in the morning and 2:30 in the afternoon, when people are generally starting to tire. Besides employee performance, Muzak can increase sales. In supermarkets, slow music can influence shoppers to walk slower and buy more. In restaurants, fast music can cause customers to eat quickly, so that the same number of tables may be used to serve more people during peak times, such as the lunch hour.
22. What is Muzak? 23. What is the average increase in productivity when Muzak is introduced? 24. What is stimulus progression? 25. How does Muzak influence sales in supermarkets? 26. Listen to a public service announcement.
Community College understands that everyone who wants to attend college will not be able to come to campus. So, as part of the distance learning program, Community College offers a series of video telecourses to meet the needs of students who prefer to complete coursework in their homes at their convenience. These telecourses are regular college credit classes taught on video cassette tapes by a community college professor. To use the materials for the course, you will need your own VHS-type VCR player. Some telecourses will also be broadcast on KCC7, TV's Sunup Semester. This program airs from 6 o'clock in the morning to 7:30, Monday through Friday, and a complete listing of courses is printed in your regular television guide. To register for a telecourse, phone the Community College Distance Learning Program at 782-6394. The course syllabus, books, and videotapes will be available at the Community College bookstore. During the first week of classes, your instructor will contact you to discuss the course and answer any questions you might have about the course requirements. Then, throughout the rest of the semester, you can use either an 800 telephone number or an email address to contact your instructor.
26. What is this announcement mainly about? 27. Why does the speaker mention the Sunup Semester? 28. How can students register for a course? 29. How can students contact the instructor? 30. Listen to part of a conversation between two friends on campus.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Donna. Where have you been? I haven't seen you for weeks.
I know. I had to drop out last semester. I thought I had a cold, but it was mono.
I'm sorry to hear that. What is mono, anyway?
It's a virus, actually, that attacks your immune system. You really become susceptible to it when you stay up late, stress out, and get run down. It was my own fault. I just kept going, studying late. I didn't get enough rest. You know the story.
Wow, all too well. I'm surprised that we all don't have it.
A lot of college students do get it. In fact, it's jokingly called the college disease. I can tell you, though, it's no joke.
So how are you now?
I'm still tired, but I learned my lesson, though. This semester, I'm taking 12 hours, and I'm not pushing myself so hard.
Good for you. I'm taking 21 hours. Sometimes I just don't know why I put so much pressure on myself. If I took one more semester to finish my program, then I wouldn't be so overloaded.
Listen, if you get sick like I did, You'll have to drop out, and you'll end up with an extra semester anyway. So you might as well slow down.
True. Well, it's something to think about. Take care of yourself, Donna.
I will. You too.
30. What is the main topic of this conversation? Thirty-one. What was the woman's problem? 32. Why is mono called the college disease? 33. What advice does the woman give the man? 34. Listen to a talk by a college professor.
When Edward Sapir was teaching at Yale, Benjamin Lee Whorf enrolled in his class. Whorf was recognized for his investigations of the Hopi language, including his authorship of a grammar book and a dictionary. Even in his early publications, it is clear that he was developing the theory that the very different grammar of Hopi might indicate a different manner of conceiving and perceiving the world on the part of the native speaker of Hopi. In 1936, he wrote An American Indian Model of the Universe, which explored the implications of the Hopi verb system with regard to the Hopi conception of space and time. Whorf is probably best known for his article The Relation of Habitual Thought and Behavior to Language, and for the three articles that appeared in 1941 in the Technology Review. In these articles, he proposed what he called the principle of linguistic relativity, which states, at least as a hypothesis, that the grammar of a language influences the manner in which the speaker understands reality and behaves with respect to it. Since the theory did not emerge until after Whorf had begun to study with Sapir, and since Sapir had most certainly shared in the development of the idea, it came to be called the Sapir-Whorf hypothesis.
34. What central theme does the lecture examine? 35. Which languages did Whorf use in his research? 36. According to the lecturer, what is linguistic relativity? 37. What is another name for linguistic relativity? 38. Listen to part of a class discussion in an environmental science class.
Let's begin our discussion today by defining acid rain. Joanne?
Acid rain is pollution that results when sulfur dioxide and nitrogen oxide mix with the water vapor in the atmosphere.
Good. But why do we call it acid rain then?
Oh, well, sulfur dioxide and nitrogen oxide combine with water vapor and form sulfuric acid and nitric acid.
And the acid corrodes the environment?
It does. According to the book, acid reaches the earth as rain, sleet, snow, fog, or even mist. But we call all of these various forms of pollution acid rain.
Exactly right. Now, who can explain how the sulfur dioxide and nitrogen oxide are introduced into the atmosphere in the first place? Ted?
Fossil fuels mostly, right?
Right. Could you elaborate on that a little?
Sure. The fossil fuels can be the result of natural events such as volcanic eruptions or forest fires, but most of the time they are introduced into the atmosphere by industrial processes, like the smelting of metals or the burning of oil, coal, and gas.
Anything else we should add to that? Yes, Joanne?
Dr. Green, I think it's important to mention the extent of the damage to areas like the Great Lakes.
Good point, Joanne. Acidity in the water and on the shorelines has all but eliminated some of the fish populations once found in the Great Lakes region along the United States-Canadian border. Any other damaging effects?
I'm an agriculture major, Dr. Green, so I'm more familiar with the large concentrations of acids that have been deposited in the soil around the Great Lakes.
And what has happened to the vegetation in that region?
Well, the rain has caused a chemical change in the soil, which is absorbed by the roots of plants. The plants don't get the nutrients they need, and as a consequence, they die.
Yes?
And it just occurred to me that acid rain is having an adverse effect not only on the environment, but also on the economy, especially forestry and agriculture.
Excellent deduction. Now, let me give you the good news. In the Great Lakes region that was mentioned in our book, an air quality accord was signed by Canada and the United States about 10 years ago to establish limits for the amount of acidic deposits that may flow across international boundaries. Since then, many companies on both sides of the border have installed equipment that limits sulfur dioxide emissions, and some have even changed to fuels that are lower in sulfur content.
Excuse me. Isn't it automobile emission that accounts for a high percentage of the nitrogen oxide?
Yes, it is, Ted. And that problem presents a somewhat larger challenge to the governments and their agencies.
38. What is the topic of this discussion? What is acid rain? 40. In which two ways has the environment been damaged along the Great Lakes? 41. What are the conditions of the Air Quality Accord? 42. Listen to part of a lecture in a microbiology class.
Bacteria is the common name for a very large group of one-celled microscopic organisms that we believe may be the smallest, simplest, and perhaps even the very first form of cellular life that evolved on Earth. Because they are so small, bacteria must be measured in microns, with one micron measuring about 0.00004 inches long. Most bacteria range from about 0.1 microns to 4 microns wide and 0.2 microns to 50 microns long. So you can understand that they are observable only under a microscope. There are three main types of bacteria, which are classified according to their shape. The slides that I am going to show you are photographic enlargements of bacteria that I observed under the microscope in the lab earlier today. This slide is an example of bacilli. The bacilli are a group of bacteria that occur in the soil and air. As you can see, they are shaped like rods. And if you were to see them in motion, they would be rolling or tumbling under the microscope. These bacilli are largely responsible for food spoilage. The next slide is a very different shape of bacteria. It is referred to as the cocci group, and it tends to grow in chains. This example is of the common streptococci that causes strep throat. Finally, let's look at the spiral-shaped bacteria called the spirilla. They look a little like corkscrews, and they are responsible for a number of diseases in humans. Some species of bacteria do cause diseases, but for the most part, bacteria live harmlessly on the skin, in the mouth, and in the intestines. In fact, bacteria are very helpful to researchers. Bacterial cells resemble the cells of other life forms in many ways and may be studied to give us insights. For example, we have a major research project in genetics in progress here at the university. Since bacteria reproduce very rapidly, we are using them to determine how certain characteristics are inherited.
42. What is the topic of this lecture? Which two characteristics are common in bacteria? 44. Which of the following slides contain cocci bacteria? 45. Why are bacteria being used in the research study at the university? 46. Listen to part of a conversation between a student and an academic advisor on campus.
Dr. Kelly, do you have a minute?
Sure, come in.
Thanks. I need to talk with you about my sociology class.
Let's see, that would be sociology 5:30 with Dr. Brown.
Right. The problem is that when I scheduled that class, it was supposed to be offered at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Tuesdays and Thursdays. But for some reason, the time has been changed to 9 in the morning. Since I work mornings, I can't take it at that time.
I see. Well, would you like to drop the class?
Yes, but I also need to pick up another class. I have to be a full-time student in order to qualify for my student loan.
So you need at least 12 hours, and you need afternoon classes.
That's right, or evening classes.
Did you have anything in mind?
Yes. I was considering sociology 560 or 570. I thought I'd get your opinion.
Either one will fit into your program since you are a soc major, and they're both electives. Too bad you can't get a required course.
I know, but they all seem to be offered in the morning.
Okay, then, which one is the most interesting to you?
I'm interested in both of them. But I was thinking since Dr. Brown teaches Soc 560, I might prefer that one. I've been trying to take a class with her because I hear that she is an excellent professor.
Good. The class is open, and I'll just sign that drop add form for you to drop 530 and add 560. You can just tell Dr. Brown what happened when you see her in class.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Dr. Kelly. I really appreciate it.
Don't mention it.
46. What is the purpose of this conversation? 47. Why does the man need to take at least 12 hours? 48. Why does the man prefer sociology 560? Forty-nine. What will Dr. Kelly do? 50. What will the man probably do after the conversation?